Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
We can consider someone else's experience. Mark chapter 2. And verse 1. You know what I read earlier? And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. He was carried by four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say to thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, inasmuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We have never saw it on this fashion. I love this story. I think it's a great story. I love all the stories in the Bible, but this one's one of those ones that make me laugh, make me smile. Jesus, he loved doing miracles. When the occasion arose, he loved to perform. He loved to do a miracle and bring healing to people's lives. The lame walked, the blind saw, and the dead lived again. You know, Jesus could do it. It wasn't a problem to him. He loved it. Even the wind and the waves obeyed him. You know, I'm sure if the Lord was walking, talking, living here and now on this planet Earth, there wouldn't be a climate change. He would just tell everything to get back into order. Yes? Easy for the Lord. But as we know, the scripture says that the whole of creation itself is groaning with the pains of childbirth, waiting for the sons of God to come and be manifested at some point in time. It's a miracle. And this miracle is demonstrating his authority, his power. That's what he's doing. And it demonstrating our responsibility as who will we bring to Jesus? Yes? Well, let's just consider what I mean. The authority of Jesus to forgive sins. That's powerful, isn't it? If you could forgive sins, you've got power. Power over people. And here is the power of Jesus to heal. Incredible. And the responsibility of believers to bring others to the Lord Jesus. So today, while we have time, we're going to have a look at some ingredients that brought all this together. So what we have in the first three verses, we notice that there are four men, four burdened men, burdened over their friend, over maybe it was a family member, maybe they were cousins, maybe they were workers that worked together down at the local mill or the factory or something like that. But they had many things in relationship to this chap that they wanted to help him. And there are things that the Bible doesn't tell us about them, don't tell us really whether they were family members. They don't tell us their names, doesn't tell us their age, doesn't tell us their position in life, even the duration that they probably knew Jesus. You know, whether they'd known Jesus for a few years or a couple of years, I don't know. We don't know much about them. Only that they cared for this person who was paralytic, sick of the palsy, it said. I remember there was a chap, the big Dave number one, Dave McDougall, back in the early 90s. I went down to a place in Devon called Brixham. And every Sunday night there was outreach down on the quayside. And we went down there with Chad, who lived there, and we would preach. I loved it. And there was a man. I remember this man. He was in a trolley. You know, you go to the market. Back in the day, we used to like to go to the market in the market square. And they used to have these barrows. They call it a sack barrow. It was a trolley with four wheels and you pull it along. It had fruit and veg on, stuff like, do you remember those days down the market? Well, this guy, they had this barrow with four sides on it. I remember them pulling him down to the outreach. He couldn't walk. He had to lie in this barrow. He couldn't even talk. But when you mentioned Jesus, he got excited. He just really loved the name Jesus. And I remember preaching and he was getting really excited. But here is a man who is like that guy, sick of the palsy. He's paralytic. Did I say paralytic or paralytic? He was paralyzed. He couldn't do anything. And he relied on his four friends to bring him to Jesus. They were burdened by his sickness. And they wanted the Lord to help him. So much so that they brought him to a house. Now, we don't know whose house it was. You can read some of the commentators and some of them will say, well, Jesus had a house in Capernaum. I don't know. Because elsewhere it says that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And some people say, well, it's probably Peter's house. And when the Lord went to Capernaum, he went to stay at Peter's house. So anyway, these four men were burdened and they went to Jesus. And they went to him, you know, with this chap who something amazing happened. You know, his sins got forgiven, which we'll look at in a minute. Well, I don't know what sort of people you're like. I don't know if you would like to help a friend out. You know that saying? A friend in need is a friend indeed. And these four men were friends indeed because they took the time to carry this poor bloke to the Lord Jesus. You know, they went. I don't know what sort of people you are. Dominic loves to go. Liam loves to go. Sometimes I go.
And sometimes
Gavin goes. Yes, she's at the back. But do we go? These men went with this paralytic man. They picked him up. They had him on a bed. They carried him. They went. But do we go? Are we of the nature of the Christian man or the Christian woman that wants to be willing to go? The Lord Jesus said when he left this world and went up into glory, he said, it says that he told the disciples to go into all the nations. Go, he said, I will be with you always. Take the gospel, preach it, go to the ends of the earth, Judea and the uppermost and the end of the earth. Go. Are we those that go? Well, they went. They took their friend and they went. And there was a time in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, that there was a bit of persecution in Jerusalem. And what happened? The believers were scattered. And when they were scattered, it doesn't say exactly where they went. But when they did go, what did they do? It says that they preached the word of God. That's what they did. And Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, it says that God has given gifts to men, to some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, but Jesus has given people gifts. And we are without excuse, whether we're going or not, we have those gifts. We can share the word of God, can't we? Yes, we can, John. Well, that's good. I'm glad you agree with me. My next point here is in verse 4. It says that they broke up the roof. Now, some people might say, look, if you come round my house, if the Lord's in the house, are you going to come down through the roof and break the roof up? Some people might say you're vandalizing the property and criticize you. But it says here, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I mean, it's fascinating stuff. I love it. You know, houses in, let's say, Israel, Palestine, whatever you want to call it, they had pretty much a flat roof. You know, they would put timbers going across from one wall to the other. They would put like branches, you know, across those bits of wood. And then they would get some sort of cement. Maybe it was a bit of mud. Maybe they mixed a bit of lime, you know. Back in the day, before we had cement, they used to use lime. Mix it in with a bit of sand. Goes hard. Hard as nails. You mix that in with a few branches, you've got a roof. And because they were like of a flat roof type thing, most houses in those days had a staircase going up against the side of the building. So you could climb up the staircase and step onto the roof. Well, they arrived. They arrived at the building. They'd been carrying this man. You can imagine, can't you, from the house to the house, from his house to the house where the Lord was. And there were so many people there. The house was full up. Sometimes back in the day, we've had some house groups, haven't we, where no one can get in. I've been to India to have a service, and there's so many people there that you're like tripping over bodies trying to get in to do a little mini sermon or a Bible study, something like that. But here, this house was full up with people. Why? Because Jesus is in the house. Jesus is there sharing the word of God. And where Jesus is, where the word of God is, you want to be there, don't you? You want to hear what God is saying. And I think there's a proverb that goes something like this. Blessed is the man who waits daily at my doors. Not one that's often quoted, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Blessed is the man who waits daily at my doors. Well, these men couldn't get in through the door. They probably waited at the door half an hour, 40 minutes, hoping that someone would come out so that they could get in. But there was no movement. People had filled the house up. And they wanted to hear Jesus preach the word. And that's what they got. So they thought, well, are we going to wait here all day? No. Let's get up on the roof. They decided they looked up so they could see a way in. And let's have a look at these words. Anyway, it was too crowded to get in that house. And sometimes, and this happens to all of us, there were obstacles. You go on a journey, you go to Edinburgh, you will find a few roadworks along the way, won't you? You could be stuck for quite a while. There is always obstacles doing something. And I noticed around Hemel Hempstead, coming here this morning with Liam, we come down the bottom of the road. I don't know if it's called Washington Avenue or whatever, but there's roadworks down there. Yeah, yeah. I said, Liam, fancy that. We're late enough as it is now. We got to wait in the roadworks. You get obstacles. Always. When you're trying to serve the Lord, when you're trying to do, there's obstacles. But how do we overcome these obstacles? Well, these men were waiting at the door. There was too many people. They looked up. And that's what we need to do. Who's up there? The Lord is up there. The Lord is up in heaven. If we look up to him, he can show us what he wants us to do. He can show us a way around those obstacles, can't he? These men looked up to find a solution. And looking up is far greater than looking down. If you look down, you won't work nothing out. You might find a £10 note on the floor, that's for sure. Mayette was telling me the other day she was so poor once that she looked down and found a £10 note. It came just at the right time. There are few solutions that will ever come to you while looking down. So we need to look up. And that's what we do in a prayer meeting. I wanted to say this morning, that when we have a prayer meeting on a Tuesday evening, we're praying. People, whether it's Nika, whether it's Dominic or Michael or even Liam or May, you know, our prayers, we go on and on and on and on and on further. It's because people have got problems. People have got issues. So everybody gets their own 5 minutes, which turns into 10 minutes because there's so many issues going on. And people are praying for other people, other believers, whether it's Beryl or Joey or someone else. Could be you. Whether it was Liam in that care home in Milton Keynes. We look up and we pray. So anyway, as I said, solutions come when we look up to glory. We look up to Jesus. All right? And that's what provides the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you go through the roof? Now, many, many years ago, let's say about 20 years ago, I saw a man known as Tom Cruise. He was in a film called Mission Impossible. I went to see a friend in Hastings and that person said, let's go to the pictures. We went to the pictures and there, all I remember in this film was Tom Cruise coming through the ceiling on a wire and trying not to hit the floor and robbing the place, trying to get something. And you think, well, you know, in this day and age, they spend £100 million on a movie, yeah, to show off their skills as a stuntman or something like that, when in the Bible, you see the same story. And they didn't spend £100 million. They just broke the roof up. I said, yeah, let's go through the roof. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyone got a hammer or an axe? Yeah, we'll get through this roof and we can get this guy who cannot move from the neck down. Yeah. And we'll lower him on 4 bits of rope before the Lord Jesus. Well, if Tom Cruise thinks that he's a flashy dude, I think that these poor men were flashier because they were able to get a guy who was only able to eat and breathe, right? And somehow, well, the house full of spectators and people somehow lowered him down perfectly. I mean, if one had gone too fast too quickly, the bloke would have fallen out of the bed and hit his head on the floor before Jesus. And the Lord would have been praying him for concussion rather than to be healed. Do you understand me? It was synchronized. It was perfect. The guy who was paralyzed was lowered down before the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's wonderful. Can you do that? Oh, thanks, Liam. Do you know some paralyzed man that you and Dominic and Mick Chipper and Daddy Bob could carry before the Lord? Maybe bring him through the roof today. You could smash one of those windows and lower him down. Eh? Of course we can. He's got a bit of faith, hasn't he? The route to Jesus was through these friends. You know, as I was sort of looking at this, when I was considering it, I was thinking of the time when your dear mum passed away.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was in hospital and we were believing that she was going to come home.
Yeah.
And a few of you came to the house. Remember that day? David spent an afternoon on the cooker. Yeah, cleaning, scrubbing. Yeah. Remember that, Margie? You was there rubbing down them skirting balls, hoovering up the car. A group of you came. It reminded me of these four. Working together. Serving together. That we could make the place nice for your mum. Do you remember that, Liam? And we were washing up, we were even throwing things away. We felt a bit guilty about that, but we did it. Some things, when it comes to serving the Lord, it can be costly. I mean, in this case, these four men, they took the day off. They carried their friend to Jesus. They couldn't get through the door, so they went up on the roof. They broke the roof open. Well, whose roof was it? You know, if it was Peter's, we don't hear a Peter saying, "What do you think you're doing to my house?" You know, most people would go bananas if you was tearing tiles off the roof and stuff like that. Yes, going bonkers. And it could be costly to serve the Lord. It could be costly to get your friend healed, you know. But in spite of the cost, you've got to do it. You've got to bring people to the Lord Jesus, whatever it costs. If it takes an afternoon off work, a day off work, it's worth it to see somebody saved, isn't it? It says here, with my heading here, my final heading, it says that there was an empty bed, verse 5 to 12. And we're glad there was an empty bed, because it says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." Jesus saw their faith, and that is the point. These men's action demonstrates that they had faith. And that is what God is looking for. That's what God is looking for in each and every one of us. You know, have you got faith? Thanks, Liam. The Lord, when the Lord said to Abraham, "Abraham, take thy son, thy very own son, and offer him up as a sacrifice to me," did Abraham hesitate? Did Abraham say, I'm going back to, like, it's Genesis 17 or 18 or something like that? But Abraham didn't doubt. Abraham believed in his heart. Abraham believed the promises of God. When God said, offer up your son, God had already promised Abraham that his offspring would be more numerous than the sand on the seashore, that his offspring would be more numerous than the stars in the sky. He believed God. Maybe he thought if I offer him up as a sacrifice, God would raise him from the dead. Abraham believed. And when he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, the angel said, "No, stop! Now that I know," that's what the angel said, "now that I know that thou fearest God." And God is watching us. Does he know that we have faith? So when you go about your godly business, when you say, even as a teenager, "Do you not know I must be about my Father's business?" Yeah? Are these the words on our mouth? You know, these men did something that demonstrated that they got faith in God. And is that what we do? Four of them went round that chap's house, said, "Look, we're going to take you to Jesus, right? Yeah, Jesus is the one who can heal you, okay? Have you got any arguments against that?" "No, I haven't." "Well, then let's go." Four men had faith and carried him to Jesus. When he got healed and they went home, five men had faith when they returned. And that's what we want. "Son, your sins are forgiven." That is what we want to hear. We all want that, don't we? Has anybody worried about their sins today? Do any of us feel guilty? Do we feel condemned because of the things that we did in the past? The thing we want to hear, the thing we want to know, are our sins forgiven? That's what we want assurance with, don't we? When Maya and I was going to see Beryl yesterday, I said to myself, if she wants to get better, because she was complaining, right? If she wants, my heart was, when we go see her, I want to talk to her about Jesus forgiving her sins. That was my heart. I couldn't get a word in edgeway. She was complaining all the time. We couldn't get a word in, could we? All I wanted to say, Beryl, you're going to meet your maker. Are your sins forgiven? Reminds me of a story, by the way. There was a woman in Oxfordshire, an old lady. She'd been serving the Lord for 80 years, Margie. She must have been 120. She weren't well. She was in bed. She was sick. You know what happened? An Anglo-Catholic priest went round to the house. He heard about her not being well. So he went round to her house to have a chat with her. And someone let him in the house, and he went and had a look at her and could see that she was sick. And he said, "Oh, lady, I've come to forgive you for your sins." Well, she didn't like hearing that. She said to him, "Sir, can I have a look at your hand?" Well, he said, "Yeah, sure." So he showed her his hand. She looked him up and down. She said, "You're an imposter." He said, "An imposter? Who do you think you're talking to?" She said, "You're an imposter." She said, "The man who forgave me my sins has got a hole in his hand." She believed the word of the Lord. He weren't happy going there that day, I tell you. He left with a tail between his legs. With the Lord, forgiveness of sins is always going to be the priority. It always will. And perhaps if you're going to have divine healing, it will come after. But the Lord is interested in your forgiveness of your sins. And, you know, there is a reaction. When God is on the move, we see the hypocrites manifest their displeasure. Verse 6 and 7, we see it here. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Here is a man, a human being, forgiving sins. You know, according to Jewish theology, they thought that not even the Messiah could forgive sins, you know, but Jesus, our Lord Jesus, is demonstrating his deity as God in the flesh, forgiving this man's sins. That's what he's doing. I wish I heard this when I was a young Christian, because I spent years confused, thinking, is Jesus God? Or is he not? Because we never heard it. Because we went to a charismatic church and they're talking about gifts all the time. Well, we never heard this. And I need to hear it. And we all need to hear it. Jesus is God in the flesh. And he has authority to forgive sins. And we need to know that. We need to know that our sins are forgiven. And to demonstrate that he's got that power, he's got that authority, he told the man to get up and walk in front of those hypocrites who thought he was being blasphemous. Was he being blasphemous? No. No. When he was put on trial in Mark 14, and they asked him plainly, are you the Son of God? In the flesh. And he said, you will see me sitting on the throne high and lift. And they tore their robe, Caiaphas it was. They went mad. And that's why they crucified him. Because they were saying, your judgment is that you're claiming to be God. And that's why they crucified him. That's why they condemned him. Anyway. Have you taken up your mat? Have you risen up and walked? Jesus is able to do the most extraordinary things through every one of us. If he can tell this paralytic to get up and walk, what did he do the next day? He would have told all his neighbours, look, Jesus Christ healed me. What are we doing? What are we telling people about what Jesus has done in our lives? What have you told your friend at university? What have you told your friend at work? What God can do. I don't know what you might have told you, but we all have circumstances. We all have issues in our lives. You know, dear Liam was locked up for 3 months. He must have done something bad. He was up in Milton Keynes for 3 months. You went down the park one day, didn't you?
Yeah.
To feed the ducks, you told me. But you was locked up, Liam.
Yeah.
Under certain... God has brought him back to Hemel Hempstead. What can God do in our lives? The only thing I can say in response to that is, let the Lord work in your life. Let him ask him, Jesus, come to me. Jesus, change my circumstances. Let me show you my faith. You got faith? Faith is a mustard seed. You can do anything. The Lord can do anything. He can change this poor man, a lame man, who was carried to him on a mat. If he can heal him, he can do anything with us. Don't you believe? When this man was healed, when his sins were forgiven, remember this, that heaven rejoiced. Doesn't it say that all the angels in glory rejoiced over one man who is saved. And this man, this poor man on the mat, was saved, healed, forgiven. Heaven rejoiced. Even the men rejoiced. It says that all the people rejoiced because they never saw it in this fashion. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them and before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion before." Wonderful. Who brought you to Jesus? Can you remember the day that someone introduced you to the Lord Jesus? There were four of them that brought this chap to the Lord. Who are we going to bring to Jesus? Who can we bring, Jethro? Do you know? Someone needs the Lord. Every one of us knows someone that needs the Lord. Why don't we take that person by the hand and say, "Come to church. Come to Jesus and have your sins forgiven." What a wonderful testimony that would be. Someone is waiting for you. Someone is longing. You know, I remember when I was a young believer, some people, you get a bit selfish. You feel a bit lonely sometimes. And you might ask yourself this question: who's going to be my friend? Have you ever asked that question yourself? Who's going to be my friend? I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. Someone out there is longing for a friend. Why don't you be a friend to someone who needs a friend? Why don't you look for someone to say, "I'm your friend, and I'll introduce you to a better friend, the Lord Jesus, who can forgive you of your sins." You can do that. Let's close there. Lord, we just stand amazed like these believers that saw this miracle. Lord, we know that you can do the impossible. But I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be like these four friends, to look for someone that is needful, whether it's an old lady in hospital, whether it's a poor beggar by the side of the street, or whether it's a work colleague at work. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our eyes as we look up to you and show us those that we can bring to you, that their lives might be changed, might be restored, that heaven would rejoice, that we would rejoice when we see someone born again, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your kingdom comes in our lives and their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.